Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to the show. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Everybody knows what day it is. Today is July 5th. Everybody knows that. Just it's instinctual. You all know it. I hope your holiday was good. Interesting to have it in the middle of the week, but hopefully you got a day or two on either side of the holiday to elongate, as we like to say. But welcome to the show. We've got a great first hour coming up. My friend and Bible scholar and mentor Jeff Verdorn is in studio with me. We're looking forward to a conversation. We're going to talk today about Satan, his lies, his torments, all the things he does. We're going to talk about that. And then the second hour today, we've got Brett Hagler, who is one of the most innovative guys that I have talked to and met on the phone. He is building homes for the homeless, and his novel approach is something you are not going to want to miss. And then Pastor Scott Sauls, who is another one of my favorites, is going to be with us in the next second hour as well. So that's the show today. You are not going to want to budge. So get another cup of coffee and or an iced tea and dig in. Get your Bibles open because we're going to field all kinds of questions. And if you have a question about the adversary, Satan, the devil, whatever we're going to call him today, we're going to get all his names on the table. You can call us with a question at 877-933-2484, 933-2484. Be back in just a minute with Jeff Verdorn.
Hi, I'm author and Faith Radio show host Liz Curtis Higgs. Beyond excited to be returning to the Northwestern Christian Writers Conference this July. Last year, we had a great time being encouraged and equipped to pour even more passion into our writing. If you want to gain valuable information and feedback about your writing and today's publishing world, join me in St. Paul for the 2018 Northwestern Christian Writers Conference, July 13 and 14.
Don't wait. Registration closes July 5th. Sign up today at NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com.
Thanking God for our nation is the focus of the Faith Radio prayer team this week. We're blessed with many freedoms, and we acknowledge God's hand upon this country since its founding. We'd love to have you join us this week as we pray for America. Members of the Faith Radio prayer team receive an email prayer reminder each week with a prayer prompt and a scripture verse to encourage your faith. It's free and easy to sign up at myfaithradio.com/prayer. That's myfaithradio.com/prayer.
It's 7 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here with you. You know, I went and got a cup of coffee right before work. And I'm always amused by this sign that says, these doors to remain unlocked during business hours. I wonder how did this revelation come about. Imagine how that first conversation started. Hey, Al, business stinks. I know. Maybe we should unlock the front door. Maybe that's what we should do. And then business got better, and they put up a sign that says, this door to remain unlocked. That's the key. All right. Welcome to the show. We're so glad Jeff Verdorn is in studio with us today. He's leaving for Israel tomorrow. He was able to squeak out a chance to come in and talk to us prior to his trip tomorrow. And he is married to his wife, Julia. He lives in Eden Prairie. He teaches various Bible studies at Grace Church in Eden Prairie. His favorite topics include end times, creation, and salvation. And he's here today to talk about the adversary, the devil, Satan. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Bill.
What a happy topic.
<I know.
laughs> Let's just jump right in, because let's start with the names. Let's start with, who is Satan?
We have this picture, I think, of this angel that was created by God. Remember, there's only three named angels in all of, all of Scripture. We have Satan, we have Gabriel, we have Michael. And of this one angel, Satan, Scripture seems to indicate that, for example, in Ezekiel 28, that he was the model of perfection, full of wisdom and beautiful. We have this picture of this incredible being that God created, but he fell. It says in Isaiah 14, there's a section in Isaiah 14 where it says, the king of Babylon says, I will, I will, I will, for the five I will statements. Well, one of those I wills, and most Theologians believe that this is symbolic of Satan. It says, I will raise my throne above that of the Most High God. And so Satan, being this beautiful, wonderful light bearer, as he's called, I think it went to his head.
And a little pride, maybe?
You know, I've been asked that question. Why in the world would this incredibly wise, beautiful angel birth such rebellion? Didn't he know that God was omniscient and omnipotent and could squash this rebellion immediately? And the only answer that I can think of is pride, and that pride blinds. But he tried to raise himself, and he lost his place in heaven. So we see, in Revelation, we see that as he's cast out, it appears that a third of the angels followed him and were kicked out of their position in heaven. And now we have this fallen angel who we call Satan or the devil or the evil one.
That's 1 John 5:19.
Yeah. The serpent, this great dragon. Scripture says that he is the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. Interestingly, just the opposite is said about God, that God is a God of truth, and there is no lie in him.
Mm-hmm. Would he also be the father of misleading?
Sure.
I mean, because sometimes if you just twist the truth by 3%, you've got somebody.
A white lie is a lie.
Right.
A half lie is still a lie.
Right.
A misleading is still a lie. It's
right.
Not a truth.
Okay.
God is the God of truth. All truth and nothing but the truth. And Satan loves, you're exactly right. Satan loves. It doesn't mean that he lies 100% of the time. It means that he can take a truth and he'll twist it right at the end. We see that in the Garden of Eden,
mm-hmm.
right? Did God really say that you shall not? He says that you will be, if you eat this fruit, he says, God knows that you will become like him. Well, a few verses later, God actually says, now they've become like us, knowing good from evil. So did Satan lie? Well, he spoke a truth, but in a lying way.
Mm, okay.
So he'll often take the truth and then twist it right at the end, making it a lie.
Here's another reference to Satan, angel of the abyss, out of Revelation 9, verse 11. I guess I don't know if I've focused on that one before.
Yeah, there are some creatures during the end times. In the book of Revelation, it describes these creatures that come out of the abyss and torment people on earth. And it appears that Satan is their commander or their leader in some way, shape, or form. So, he's a bad guy. He's the destroyer. In fact, right now, so Satan is thrown out of heaven. He's down on earth. In some way, shape, or form, Satan now gets to muck around down here,
mm-hmm.
right? God has allowed Satan to, in the grandest way, to give people a choice between good and evil, right? You have one side, you got another side, and people need to decide which side are you going to be on. So I think God has allowed Satan in this world, and in fact, Scripture says that he is the ruler of the kingdom of the air. He's the prince of this world, John 12:31. So he gets to muck up stuff down here.
Mm-hmm.
And another question that I get asked often is, why doesn't God just end his reign and do away with him? And the answer is, read the back of the book, he does, but in God's timing.
Right.
Right?
Right. Here's one, Jeff, ruler of the kingdom of the air, out of Ephesians 2:2.
Yeah, so that's, do you remember when Jesus got tempted by Satan?
Yes.
And the final temptation is he brings him up on a high mountain, he shows him all the kingdoms of the earth, and he says, if you were to worship me, I will give you all of these kingdoms.
As if they were his to give.
As if they were his to give.
Okay.
So once again, Satan is down on earth under God's sovereignty, but God, like, I often compare it to like a bully on a playground, right? The principal is still in charge, but there's this bully out there bullying people around. Or if you're a Christian and you're under a tyrannical government who is mm-hmm. doing all kinds of evil things, and you think, why is God causing this to happen? Well, I got news. There's this passage in 1 John 5:19 that says that we know we're children of God, and we know that the whole world is in control of the evil one. Okay? Let me say that again. John says, and we know that the whole world is in control of the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? I think that exactly what we were describing. insurance policies used to have these phrases in them. Said this policy covers fire, floods, and other acts of God. Like all of these bad acts that are happening come from God. Well, I don't think they do. I don't think God causes bad things to come, especially on his people. But we know Satan does. And God says that this whole world is in control of the evil one. He's the one that brings these bad things on these people. When we see death and carnage and destruction and so on, that's not at the hand of God. We live in a fallen world with fallen people and a fallen angel running around mucking up this place.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jeff, this has always caused me goosebumps, this passage out of 2 Timothy 2. Starting in verse 23, it says, "Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will."
Yeah, so they are unbelievers. If you are in Christ, the Bible says that you are a child of God.
Right.
Right? If you are an unbeliever, Scripture has some bad news for you. It says your father is the devil, and he says you're under his control. He also blinds the mind of unbelievers, and so we have this satanic, if you will, influence over unbelievers. Not that everybody that's unbelieving is demon possessed or controlled by Satan or whatever. It just means that is the voice that they are listening to, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
They're not listening to the voice of God. They're not listening to the voice of truth. They're listening to the voice of lies. They're listening to Satan. He's your father. So I think his influence is worldwide and is through all unbelievers. And there are many, many that you could argue are even under his direct influence. When you look at this world, there is tremendous evil in this world.
Mm-hmm.
In one of my classes, we go through some of the the worst dictators of human history, mm-hmm. and how many tens of millions of death each one is responsible for. Well, that's pure evil, and I think that comes from Satan.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, we're going to take a break here just in about 30 seconds. 1 Peter 5:8 says Satan is your enemy.
He is. He is an adversary.
Mm-hmm.
He is our enemy, the enemy of our souls. He comes to kill, maim, and destroy. And I was in a grade school, Christian grade school, with my kids, and it was Halloween, so they had their dress-up day.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the little kids was dressed up as Satan, you know, with the pitchfork and the tail and the whole thing. And it's like, oh, my goodness. I understand the world sees Satan as this mythical character, you know, not real, kind of like a superhero or a dinosaur, whatever. But he is a real enemy of your soul.
Mm.
And so I asked the young girl, why would you dress up as the enemy of your soul? But,
yeah. If you have a question or a comment, want to get involved in this discussion, 1-877-933-2484 is the number, 877-933-2484. Or if you'd prefer not to go on the air, you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, and I'll read your question. That's how we roll today. It's 17 minutes after the hour. Jeff Verdorn is my in-studio guest. We'll be back in just a minute.
Roams around with sticks and stones, passing out his moans and groans. Devil ain't no lazy bones, he works 24 hours a day.
19 minutes after the hour.
We got to get Bill to stop dancing here first.
I know. First of all, I like that song. It's Pokey Lafarge. That's the singer.
Bless you.
Yeah, I did an event with him once, and a great guy. Anyway, we're back. We're talking about the devil, Satan, the adversary, your enemy. Today on the show, and my guest in studio is Jeff Verdorn, and Jeff is a regular guest on my show. He's a Bible scholar and mentor of mine, and teaches as well. So we're just starting to try to dig into who Satan is and then what his schemes might be, because we always hear that verse, that Satan roars around like a lion seeking whom he can devour. And we need to be aware of his schemes. But I think the next question is, what are his schemes? What are they? What should we look out for?
Well, you're right. 2 Corinthians 2 says, know his scheme. So if he's an adversary and he's an enemy, we want to understand our enemy. We want to understand his tactics and how he battles and how he fights. So what does Scripture say about him? Now, I will say at this time, I'd rather spend my time studying the good and studying God's nature and his character and his promises and our future. And, you know, I've read the back of the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, we win, you know, in the end. So it's great. And his destiny, his fate is sealed. Satan's fate is sealed. But God says, know his schemes. So let's understand from Scripture what his schemes are. You just mentioned one. He's pictured as this lion roaming around looking for people to devour. He does have power in this world to kill and maim and destroy, and he can even destroy believers, right? Think about that.
Mm.
How many martyrs have there been for Christ over the years? That's not at God's hand. That's at the enemy's hand. It's Satan's hand. Remember the phrase, do not fear him who can destroy the body, right, the physical body in this world, but fear him or awe him or reverence him, God, who has the power over the body and the soul in the lake of fire, the eternal control mm-hmm. over the man. So while Satan can harm and bring havoc and torment in this world and even bring death on believers, know that he can't touch your eternal fate.
Yeah, well, Jim Elliot just popped into my head when he went into the jungle to preach to the—
Oh, yeah.
And he got speared the first day.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So that, you know, Satan has you see in Job, he brought a lot of calamity to this poor guy named Job.
Sure did.
Right?
Yeah.
First to everything around him and then to his own body, to his own flesh. And if God would have said, allowed it, he could have even brought death to Job, but that was not in the plans for the book of Job. Remember, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Remember that promise. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, no matter what happens in this world, you have victory. In fact, I love that passage. It's in 2 Corinthians 2. It says, God always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. We are overcomers. We have victory. That's who we are today. So Satan can destroy the flesh, but he can have no power over our eternal mm-hmm. fate in heaven. All right.
I want to say, Jeff, I once went online and looked at a lion devouring its prey.
Mm.
Yeah. That was plenty. Once was enough.
We were in Africa about a dozen years ago, and I saw two animal kills. I saw a group of lionesses take down a zebra.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a pretty sight.
I bet not.
It stirs up much kind of raw emotion. And the other one was a cheetah taking down a gazelle. That is this world.
I know, but once you see that image and you hear that image that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to whom he can devour, when you see something like what you experienced
yep.
live and me just on the internet, you understand it's Satan's
Absolutely.
Power.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
So another one of his schemes is Revelation 12 says he deceives the world. Corinthians says that he masquerades as an angel of light. Paul says in Thessalonians that he counterfeits, even counterfeiting miracles. I think Satan does have a certain spiritual power in this material world to counterfeit miracles
mm-hmm.
So that those in the occult who are practicing the occult and spells and incantations, all this stuff, I think there's absolute reality to much of that, and it can be real. I think remember Moses and the serpent and the snake and the followers of Pharaoh were able to replicate some of Moses's God-divine miracles, mm-hmm. but they did it in some other way, probably at the hands of Satan and his power. But so he lies. So that's another thing he does. He is, like we talked about earlier, the father of lies. There is no truth in him. So that's another one
yeah.
of the schemes.
Jeff, let's talk about the masquerades as an angel of light, because that's where traps are set in life every day for people, for Christians as well.
Yeah, you have I think there's religious systems, especially out there, that mention God or mention good or love or whatever. And it just doesn't that sound right? And doesn't that sound good? And how can something that good be wrong? And for a believer that knows the Word, I don't think he does a very good job masquerading as true light.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know his Word and you don't know the truth, then you come along as light and someone might mistake that for the true light.
Mm-hmm. I used to travel a lot and be up really late after work, and I would sometimes watch TV. And I remember there was this movie on one night, and I think Gabriel Byrne was the actor, and he was playing a priest. And there was this beautiful woman in the room, and he decided that he wanted to sort of end his vow of celibacy and sin against the vows he's committed. And the woman was beautiful. And as he approached her and then leaned in to kiss her, she morphed from this beautiful woman into this monster.
Hmm.
And I go, boy, there's the illustration of masquerading as the angel of light. Yeah. You think something is alluring, but it's really death.
Yeah. There was there's an old Twilight Zone movie show that's similar to that. There's a man who captures Satan and puts him in a cage.
I know that.
You know that
yes,
one?
Yes, I do.
But there's a worker or something that's there, and the man in the cage appears as this gentle, meek,
misunderstood.
Misunderstood.
Oh.
And he convinces this worker, the assistant
yes.
guy, to let him out of the cage.
Yep.
And as soon as he comes out of the cage, he turns back into the this personification of evil
yes.
that he really is.
Yes.
You remember that one?
I do remember that, yes. Yeah.
So the last thing he does, so let's talk about some more of his schemes. Know this guy and know his schemes. And this is a big one, and that is he tempts. So it says that he looks for footholds, Ephesians 4. He sets traps in 1 Timothy. And he tempts, entices. There's this passage in James 1 that says that God does not tempt. Remember, okay, truth, big truth here. God will never tempt his people. If you are being tempted, it's not from God. God does not tempt. Temptation comes from the devil. And it says that this temptation comes and it touches our desire, which entices us, which leads us to sin. So that, I think it says it pricks our desire. So that is the progression, if you will. So know it, recognize it, that when we see, when that lady is there, we were up at the cabin this past weekend. We were talking a little bit before the show, and you said, how was it? It was great. Well, one of the things I did up at the cabin was I got my friends and stuff that were up there. Guys, ask me questions about Satan. We're going on tomorrow on Bill's show. So a lot of people ski and, swim up at the cabin.
Yeah.
We were talking about Satan up at my cabin. So, but they said, is Satan omniscient? Is he omnipotent in any way? Does he know your thoughts? And I say, no, I don't think that Satan is omniscient like God. But if you put a beautiful woman next to a traveling lonely salesman, Satan has been, following mankind for, a few thousand years here and knows how they will respond. He doesn't need to be omniscient
right.
to know how many men in that situation
tricks.
Are going to respond.
Yeah. All right. If you want to get involved, have a question, give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. If you have a question or a comment about our discussion today, we'd love to hear from you. Jeff Verdorn is my guest, and we'll be back in just a minute. Good afternoon. It is 31 minutes after the hour. So glad you're with me today. Bill Arnold here in studio with Jeff Verdorn, my friend, Bible scholar, mentor, all-around great guy, teacher. We're talking about the enemy today, devil, Satan, the evil one, star of the morning, the serpent, the great dragon. We're covering as much as we can. We're going to talk about his torment, his lies, and his temptations. I did have a caller or a listener that said, my 8-year-old granddaughter is allowed to read Harry Potter. I am concerned. Should I be? Is it harmless?
You should be concerned. A lot of people want to write off Harry Potter as just this generation's Bewitched or I Dream of Jeannie and so on. It's much deeper than that. I'm not a Harry Potter expert, but I know enough. There's actually a place in one of the books, and I think the books are worse than the movies, but in the books that show deep knowledge of the occult. There's a place where Harry Potter cuts himself and takes his blood to give his incantation or whatever power. And it's kind of like the prophets of Baal. Remember what happened up on Mount Carmel? Elijah and the prophets of Baal each made an altar and said, you pray to your gods and I'll pray to my gods. Well, when the prophets of Baal are praying to their gods, it says that they yelled and screamed and beat themselves and slashed themselves or cut themselves. This is an ancient practice of man taking his blood to give the spirits or the gods power in some way. Mm. When the reality, the truth, is that God came and shed his blood to give us power. You see how deep that is? That's not genie going, you know, right. blink, making things appear and disappear.
Yeah, there's a cat. All right. Another caller. We have a guy on the line from Goodrich, North Dakota. Hello, Guy.
Yes, good afternoon. Interesting subject. Thank you for taking my call.
You're so welcome.
I was looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 15. I'm just going to just paraphrase a little bit there, rather than read all of it, but it talks about Satan being transformed into an angel of light. This is Paul, Apostle Paul, talking to the Corinthians and warning about false apostles and false teachers. And so he talks about Satan being transformed into an angel of light and says, therefore, it is no great thing if Satan's ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So while Paul also says in Ephesians that we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, he also makes it clear here that in the flesh we do have agents who are working for Satan. And I'd just like to make a fairly brief comment about how this seems to be playing out in the inner world today and even on a global scale, if I could.
It's a great comment, Guy. Jeff, do you have a remark to that?
Yeah, Ephesians 6.
I can't let you go too long, Guy, because we have a lot of callers. So
Guy,
if you have a question.
You're exactly right. You talk about this struggle, this battle. It's a spiritual battle. And I think you mentioned Ephesians. In Ephesians 6, it says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our battle is a spiritual battle. It manifests itself in our physical world in many, many ways, and there are agents of this evil that are in our world today. And you said we see it today. The only thing I would add to that is that we have always seen it. So when we see Cain killing Abel at the very beginning, that is the evil forces, actually even before that in the garden with Satan, who appears as a serpent. So I would say these forces of evil, these spiritual forces, have always been at work in this world, both in ancient history, in recent history, and in today and in the future. So that is our battle. In fact, when we get to kind of how then do we respond to these schemes, that's the main point, that this is our battle, and God has dressed us, believers in Christ Jesus, in his spiritual armor. And we can walk through those components here in a minute.
Thank you guys so much for calling, and thanks for listening. All right, Jeff, let's go back to the torment, the lies, and the temptations. Because it says in Ephesians 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So there's an unseen world going on, and that is something we need to be really concerned about.
Yeah, every day. Every day our battle is spiritual. Some get frustrated that it's like, well, why hasn't God told us more about this spiritual world and demons and all this stuff and how this works and how this operates? And I think he purposely hasn't given us a lot of information about it. I don't think God wants us going out delivering, you know, every bad thing and casting out demons and so on out of everything. I think God wants us to trust in him. He says our battle is a spiritual battle. That is the reality. It's happening every day. So as we walk in this spiritual battle, we need to be fully dressed in his armor, trusting in him every step of the way. Specifically, let's look at, so when torment comes, what do we do? How do we respond to Satan's scheme of tormenting us? Paul says a number of things. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. James says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kind. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting because people will often say that God will not allow us to experience torment beyond what we're able to bear. And that verse in Corinthians actually relates to temptation. He won't let us be tempted beyond what we are able to endure. But 2 Corinthians, Paul says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffer in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. So Paul was experiencing this torment from Satan in a significant way. Right, that he even desired death, but he fought the good fight. He finished the race, right? He finished strong, and he stood firm in the Lord. Truth is how we battle Satan's lies. So the scheme of lies, how do we battle? We got to know God's word. Mm-hmm. That's what you do here on the show every single day, is we want to study his word, know his truth, know his promises, know his nature and his character. God, Satan wants to come along and try to convince us of some... you know, it's interesting. I think Christians get in trouble when they trust God for something that he never promised, or don't believe the promise that he's actually made. Hmm. So let's understand his promises, what he has promised and what he hasn't promised. And then finally, when temptation comes, how do we deal with this scheme of Satan in temptation? Well, we have two basic main tactics. He says, resist the devil and he will flee. Resist him standing firm in faith, 1 Peter 5, and flee from sexual immorality. That lady that came and sat down next to the guy at the bar stool, he should have seen that, recognized it if he was a believer, and fled that situation.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, I'd like you to talk about 1 Corinthians 10:13. That's a verse that comes up all the time. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it.
Isn't that a wonderful promise?
Oh, I love it. There's going to be an exit ramp on every freeway, isn't there?
Every time temptation comes for the believer, God says that he has given you that exit ramp.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always take it, right?
Nope.
But he's given us. And this great promise, in the spiritual realm, how does this actually play itself out? He says he won't let you be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. What a great promise of God.
I love that. We have another caller. Do we? No, I guess not. All right, we do, but we're just not connected yet. All right. Let's talk about prayer, because that is our front line of battle against the enemy.
Yeah, so I love the line in Scripture. It says, the battle is not yours, but God's.
There are some Christians that say, no, I'll take Satan on. I'll rebuke him. I'll cast him out. Not
yeah.
wise, huh?
No,
let God
good
do that.
Luck. Yeah. He's been around for a long time. He has a lot more wisdom than we do. He knows mankind better than we know mankind. I had a friend who used to say, well, I pray every night for my kids and command the angels to post in the four corners of their bed to protect them. And it's like, I don't know. You know, right now Paul says we're made a little lower than the angels. We're a physical being in time and space. And, you know, the spirit world can see everything else. I said, I just pray to the commander of the armies of the host, and I let him worry about the details, right?
Yeah, I love it. So. Yeah. Now we've got a call on the line. Cindy from Jamestown. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the show. Hello, Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, welcome
Hello.
To the show, Cindy. Yeah, you have a question or
Hi.
A comment?
Yeah, I have a question. I wonder what your thoughts are on the movie Stranger Things.
Yeah, you're stumping both of us. We're both shaking. We don't even know what that is.
A recent movie, or how long was it? And what was the kind of your main question about it?
It's kind of like a show that's on right now, but it's got kind of, I don't know, to me it kind of seems like it isn't really a good show to watch. And I know a lot of the teenagers are watching it. So, you know, it's just, I guess it's kind of hard if you don't know what.
Well, that's okay. It's a Netflix series show, and okay. So Jeff, maybe we can actually talk about some guidelines for viewing entertainment that would be wise.
Well, this is one of the areas that We were, in fact, before the show, we were talking about this a little bit, about what we as believers watch. What's the entertainment that we follow? What are the concepts and truths and situations that we allow into our own homes? This is a little bit like the Harry Potter stuff, right? Should Christians allow their children to read things like Harry Potter or shows like this? Much of Hollywood, much of the media is designed, I will say specifically designed. Do you remember the church lady?
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Dana Carvey playing the church lady.
Yeah, and she used to say, who is that? That's Satan. Yeah. Right? And kind of in a mocking way. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like, all right, well, if you believe this Satan character is real, well, then you're kind of this, you know, nerdy, whatever, church lady person. And who wants to be that, right?
Sure.
So that's the kind of media that we allow our families and our children to soak in all the time. That's pretty innocent compared to a lot of the stuff that's out there. Now, not knowing this show, if it's produced out of Hollywood, I have a feeling that there's probably not a lot worthwhile in it. So,
yeah, there's good guidelines just for viewing any kind of entertainment. You know, is it good? Is it of good report? Is it honorable? Is it uplifting? Does it edify?
Absolutely.
Does it glorify God's name or does it tear God's name down?
Right.
Pretty simple test.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit. Let's talk about armor.
You know, every one of these components is from God. And you think about armor is there to protect. The helmet of salvation, well, salvation is from God. He's placed this helmet on you. By the way, you don't need to put it on every day.
He's placed it on you?
He has placed it on you. The moment you were saved, the helmet of salvation, you have a helmet on your head.
So it's not like a closet that he builds that has all this gear in there. You got to go put it on every day.
It's not like Iron Man where you got to, you know, take the stuff and put it on. And no, he's placed it on your head. This is a metaphor that Paul is using that basically says you have salvation, which is protecting your head. You can never get this fatal blow, if you will, because remember, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Same with the breastplate of righteousness, guarding all your vitals, if you will, in a material world. Protects all of your organs. But again, once again, this is from God. It's the righteousness of God that is by faith from first and last. You have the righteousness of God. You have the breastplate on. The shield of faith. I love that passage in Ephesians where it says, extinguishing all the flaming arrows of the evil one. As we stand firm in faith, right? Flee from the devil. Resist him. As we stand firm, those arrows will bounce off that shield.
Love it. I love it. All right, Jeff, let me take a little break. I've got time for a few more calls. I got a couple on the hold here. So 877-933-2484. Email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. 15 minutes until the top of the hour. Jeff Verdorn is my in-studio guest. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 13 minutes till the top of the hour. I hope you're enjoying this show today. Bill Arnold here with you. Jeff Verdorn is my guest in studio, and he is a Bible mentor of mine. So I've known Jeff for a long time, and whenever I have a tough question, I give him a call, and he usually says, he usually answers, which I appreciate. So anyway, we're talking about the enemy, Satan, the devil, and we're talking about his torments, his lies, and his temptations. We've got a caller on the line. Terry is calling with a question. Hello, Terry.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on the fact that during the Old Testament, Job wasn't under the blood. He wasn't indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And it says in three of the Gospels, I can't find it in the fourth, but it says these signs will follow those who believe. They'll tread on scorpions. And cast out demons and raise the dead, heal the sick. And then there's one where it says, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And then in the Psalms, it also says, God inhabits the praises. And we do it all in Jesus' name because he's in our hearts. So I was kind of wondering what he thought about that.
Yeah, I totally agree about Job. Nobody, it's an interesting thing that we forget that nobody in the Old Testament was born again. Nobody in the Old Testament received the promises because the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ hadn't come. The Holy Spirit hadn't come. So while the Holy Spirit came on people as an anointing on rulers, on prophets, and so on, that no one was a new creation in Christ Jesus like we are post-cross. So I totally agree. By the way, Job, also, you have to be very careful when you're looking at the book of Job and what he says, because Job did not have the luxury of reading Job chapter 1, right?
Yeah.
Where we get the luxury of seeing that this is Satan before God and saying, hey, do these things, and that they are not from God but from Satan. So he actually says this line to his wife, shall I accept the good from God and not the bad? Well, he didn't read Job chapter 1, that it's not from God, it was actually from Satan. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
great, great call, Terry. Thanks so much. We have another call. I guess not. Here's the question, Jeff: do demons use hacking and cybersecurity? That's an interesting question. I mean, that's another attack on people.
I think demons use everything. So I think everything in this world, in this material world in which we live, is fair game, and they will use it. I will say that some people want to then write off certain technologies or certain objects or whatever as demon possessed or used by the demon or so on. The same technology that's the internet that's used by Satan and all of his minions to do evil in this world is also a wonderful tool used by God and his children for good around the world. There are more people learning God's word and being exposed to God's word because of technology and the internet and the, you know, cyberspace, if you will, than at any other time in history. So it's a great tool. It's just how one uses it, obviously. So the technology in and of itself is not good or evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's how it's used that's good or evil.
Yeah. Another caller, looks like Rennie from Grand Forks, North Dakota. Hello, Rennie.
Hi.
I hope I got your name right.
Renee.
Okay, sorry.
My question is, my sister believes she's a medium. You know what a medium is, right?
Talking to dead spirits, dead people.
Correct. Yes. I don't know what to do. I have more or less closed her out of my life. This has been about 9 months that she thinks that she's talking to dead people, like my parents and other people that have passed. And I'm a Christian, and I don't even associate with her anymore because I just don't want to have to deal with the, I believe they're demons.
Yeah, so God specifically forbids us from talking to dead people. And it's interesting because I think when we see people like this, I think there's three possibilities. One, that it's just a fraud, that they are, making it up as they go. They're putting on a show. They said, now Grandpa says that he gave you this gift of something. And then the person will say, oh, a purse. Yeah, a purse. And in that purse, there was something. Oh, yeah, there was this thing in it. And, you know, and they play off the person. So it's fake. Number two, that they are actually talking to demons, and that demons are impersonating Grandpa Fred. Demons were around throughout all these generations and would have that knowledge. And there are many who have come out of this world, and their testimony is that I heard voices. I know I had spirit guides or spirit voices that came and gave me information about people or events or things in the past that was correct. And so we know that the demonic world could be impersonating here. Or finally, it actually may be that it is dead people speaking through these mediums. Now, why do I say that? It's because we actually have instances in Scripture where we see dead people coming back and speaking to some people, to a medium. The prophet Samuel was brought back by a medium for King Saul and spoke to him. So at least in the Old Testament, we see that that is a possibility. Now, which one she is doing, I have no way of telling, obviously. But the big thing is you have a absolute – the red flags in your spirit are going off around this stuff, and it should, because this is something that we should not play with at all as believers.
Thank you so much, Renee, for calling. And, of course, Jeff, not to mention Saul died over it.
He did, yeah. It caused him trouble, yes. And that was a case where Saul wandered off in a lot of ways. God withdrew his spirit from Saul, and then he ended up dead. Now, David did a little better, right? His spirit came upon David then.
Yeah. So. All right, let's talk about how we can stand our ground. Let's talk about the ways in which we can be firm in the Lord.
Oh, I love that line. So that when the day of evil comes, so this is this Ephesians 6 passage, therefore put on your full armor of God that you may be able to take your stand. And when that day of evil comes, and after you've done everything, to stand, stand your ground. So how do we stand our ground? I think we stand our ground by faith. If you are going to trust in the Lord, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Stand firm, let nothing move you, right? Stand firm then in his truth. Stand firm, not being yoked again of slavery, in other words, false teaching, false gospels. Standing firm in faith, standing firm in hope, standing firm in his word. He gives us lots of exhortations to stand firm in him. He will fight your battles. The battles is not yours, but God's. And if we simply trust in him, I think that is the biggest way that we can appropriate his armor, standing firm in the Lord and his mighty power.
And Jeff, I love in verse 13, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Because the person who is standing after the battle is usually the winner.
The winner.
and the loser is laying on the ground.
And I said it earlier, I've read the back of the book, we win. Like I said, that verse that says he always leads us in victorious procession. Remember, everyone born of God, 1 John 5 says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Christ. Why are we overcomers? Because John 16:33 says, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. He's conquered death, right? The grave could not hold him. Death could not contain him. And he declares to the world, I have overcome the world. We are in Christ Jesus, so we are now overcomers as well.
All right, Jeff, so if we recognize a scheme of Satan, what's the first thing we should do? Is flee a good word?
Yeah, so for so again, if we see torment, we see lies, and we see temptation. These are kind of my categorizations of the general schemes of the devil. When we see temptation, we resist and flee. When we see the lies coming from Satan, we need to seek truth and understand the truth. So get in the Word, understand his Word, understand his promises. And when we experience the day of evil, so when that day of evil comes, you hold on to God with all you have, trusting him in him with all of
your might. What would you say to a new believer that says, I'm getting on the Jesus train, but not so much about Satan?
Well, he is real. He is like that lion roaming around. If you're going to deny Satan, then you're going to deny the spiritual battle in which we are in. So I think it's that simple. You can't accept heaven and not hell. You can't accept God and not Satan. These are all part of God's truth. And you know, there are people who say that God talks about hell more than heaven, or you know, how many references to Satan in the Bible? It's all over the place. He is a real person. He's a real enemy of the soul. But the great truth of God's word is that we are, that greater is in us than he who is in the world.
That's my friend Jeff, Jeff Verdorin. I'm so glad he was able to make it today. He's going to be heading to Israel tomorrow. You're giving a little guided tour. Is that right?
I am a chaperone of the Grace Church seniors that are going. This will be my third trip to Israel, and it's a wonderful time to see. Being on a boat on the Sea of Galilee and reading the passages that occur on that sea can be very moving.
Really fun. Well, I'm anxious to hear about the trip when you get back, and look forward to having you back in the studio again when you return.
Wonderful. Thanks, Bill.
Yep. Jeff Verdorin has been my guest. If you have a question for Jeff, you didn't get a chance to get it on the air, email me with it. I'll forward those questions to Jeff, and I bet he'll answer them personally. You'll love that. So you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. I just volunteered you, Jeff, to do that.
I will do it.
I figured. Yeah, so that's the kind of guy he is. But that wraps up hour one. We've got a great second hour coming up with Brett Hagler, who is an amazing entrepreneur. And also Scott Sauls is going to be with us as well. So that is hour two. Just ahead. Be back in a minute. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.